We move now from the first parak of Pirkei Avos to the second parak of Pirkei Avos. The first question that we wonder about is a question of organization. Often we learn Mishnayos. A typical Masechta, often a parak will correspond to a topic. Sometimes the parak has two topics, sometimes a topic covers two prakim, and the borders aren't always precise, but more or less prakim correspond to different topic areas. Pirkei Avos, it doesn't at first seem that it's like that. Last week we learned some of the first parak, and we saw that the first parak traces the chain of Masorah from Moshe to Achik and Sinagadola, and then step by step the teaching from Achik and Sinagadola all the way through the line of Nisim and Avos Bezdin, the Zugos, all the way to Hillel and Shammai, and then to the family of Hillel. One after another, all the Nisim who descended from Hillel in a line. And it brings us up to the first mission in the second parak, which is Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, who was a descendant, a child of Shimon ben Gamliel at the end of parak Aleph. And that takes us then to Rabban Gamliel, his son, for the next couple of Mishnais. How about the rest of the parak? So it's interesting, Tosis Yomtif points out, and Rav Kahati in his Perish develops this more, deploys it more extensively. He suggested there are two lines of two chains that are being traced here. The first parak traces a chain of Masorah, and then once we get to Hillel, continue in the line of Nisim, of Nisiei Sanhedrin, which from Hillel and on, the Nisiei Sanhedrin, with one exception, who we'll get to in a moment, Hillel and on, all the Nisim were descendants in a line from Hillel, through the Rabban Gamliel, the Rabban Shimon, and then Yehuda HaNasi, and then onward, all the way until Hillel HaSheni, who doesn't appear in Pirkei Avos. He's in the middle of the period of the Amoraim, the last Nasi of Sanhedrin. He's the one who shifts Klal Yisrael to the sixth calendar that we have. If you survey the Mishnayos here, you'll see that the first mission, the second parak, is Rebbe Omer. And then Mishnah Beis is Rabban Gamliel, but no shall be Yehuda HaNasi Omer. We're going to take a look in a couple of moments at what he says. Several Mishnayos from Rabban Gamliel. Mishnah Beis, Mishnah Gimel, Mishnah Dalet, Mishnah Hay.
The conference has been muted.
And then take a look at Mishnah Ches. Mishnah Ches is Yochanan ben Zakkai, Kido, the Hillel v'Shammai. Yochanan ben Zakkai, he was Mekabel from Hillel and Shammai. We haven't heard that terminology in a while. That's because we're going back up to Hillel again, and now we're, the rest of the second parak is going to trace not the descendants of Hillel, not the Nisim, with the exception of Yochanan ben Zakkai, who did serve for a time as a Nasi, before and after the Churban Bayit Sheni. But from that point on, we're looking at the string of Talmidim. It's all about the Talmidim of Yochanan ben Zakkai and their Talmidim and so on and so forth. So we really have two chains of Masorah. The first parak was taken through the line of Nisim, and then this parak is going to sort of finish that off with Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi and Rabban Gamliel ben Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. Then we'll back up again to Hillel and look at the non-Nisim, the other Talmidim, and the flow of Torah and Masorah through the other chains of Talmidim as well. So that's one thread that ties the second parak together. I would suggest that it's not only the structural thread of the chain of Masorah, first through Nisim and then through non-Nisim, but I think there also is a common theme, or maybe a common pair of themes, that perhaps not every Mishnah, but certainly is a recurring motif throughout the parak. The question of priorities and balance, on what's really important and how to balance the different pieces. And that's an idea that comes up again and again and again throughout this parak. Let's take a look at Mishnah Beis. Rabban Gamliel ben Osho b'Yehuda HaNasi Omer. So here we are, probably one of the last people to be mentioned. He's a generation after Yehuda HaNasi. So what does he tell us? Yafir Talmud Torah M'Derecher, Shigi HaShnei M'Shakach HaZavon. That the combination of learning Torah together with Derech Eretz is the right combination to have, because Yigiyas Shneihem Mishlakachas Avon. Working on the two the combination of working on Torah and working on Derech Eretz will cause me to forget sin. Rishonim tend to assume that Derech Eretz here means what Derech Eretz using is, which is working for a living. You take a look at Mitri. So he says, it means one of two things. Either it means working for a living, or it means Derech Eretz in the sense of having Derech Eretz, to be a person of Musa. And the work on the two, this is a source of Hirsch's terminology, Torah in Derech Eretz. That is a direct quote from this Mishnah. Yafa Talmud Torah in Derech Eretz. Pashup Shat is that the Mishnah is presenting three things to be busy with. Talmud Torah, Derech Eretz, again, as we pointed out, Neri's second approach is Derech Eretz means Avodas HaMusar, but Pashup Shat, it means his first approach, learning. You spend time the schedule for Siddurim, for Chavrusas, you time the schedule for holding down a job, and the Mishnah goes on to say, Torah without Malacha, Sofa B'Tela V'Gerera Sabbath. If you have Torah without that combination, if there isn't the simplest understanding, if there isn't a stream, isn't a steady, reliable, honest income stream, Sofa B'Tela V'Gerera Sabbath. The Torah and the Bin Batos. I can't support myself. It's not a sustainable situation. Vigoreris Avon, not only would the Talmud Torah fall apart, so I can't support myself. Vigoreris Avon. It's going to lead to sin. Lead to sin either because they don't have an honest way of making a living. I will be sorely tempted to fund myself dishonestly, and that's an avon, that's a chet, that's absolutely unacceptable. Or we mean gereris avon, that if I don't have an economically sustainable model for how I'm going to learn, if I don't have a blend of learning and working for a living or some other reliable source of income, so then the learning is going to fall apart, self of the tail, and then maybe gereris avon. I won't continue growing my learning. So I'm going to learn very extensively, but not prepared to earn a living. So then, when I finally need to, I can't support myself in a way that still allows for a Seder. So in the long run, the learning will fall apart. In the long run, when the learning falls apart, that's going to leave me open to greater chet. Sometimes when people they have a misimpression that the only Talmud Torah that's valuable is Talmud Torah to the exclusion of anything else. So then once you need to earn a living, if they're working with that misconception, they assume, so now that I'm a worker, I'm no longer a learner. And I'm going to leave saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects both of us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects us to be ambitious. HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects us to be learners and workers. And to figure out every person's specific economic situation is different. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects us to figure out how we're going to make time for the two. I'm going to have time to hold down a job and find time to be ambitious in my learning as well. And then Ramiel says, in case that doesn't sound busy enough to earn a living and to have a Seder, he mentions a third item, which it sounds like he's not demanding of us, but he mentions a third item that we might want to find time or schedules for as well. He talks about the value of and the care needed for your amel imatzibur, if a person also invests time in community work, in addition to supporting my family, in addition to my personal learning, I'm also going to take time for the tzibur, to be involved in the club, to be involved in the shul, to be involved in a chesed organization, to be involved with people, to be amel imatzibur. She says, that's incredible. Zuchus avosa misayatan. She says, pasal meslat. It's extraordinary. It's extraordinary. So here are the two or three elements in the schedule that the Rambam is suggesting. Torah, Milacha, Derech Eretz, and possibly also Amal HaTzibur, Tzorchei Tzibur. He sounds a cautionary note, though. In addition to talking about the great value of Amel and HaTzibur, he also says, should be sure to be Amel L'Shem Shamayim. Amel and HaTzibur, you Amel Imam L'Shem Shamayim. The question is, why suddenly the insistence and doing things with Sefer Shamayim. Doing things with Sefer Shamayim is always important, always ideal, we should say. As the Gemara says, it's ideal to learn Torah to do mitzvah Sefer Shamayim. At the same time, the Gemara tells us, Olam Yasek Adam Torah Mitzvah Sefer Shalashma. It's always worth learning and doing mitzvahs, even if it's for ulterior motives, because I want the prize, because I want the coven. Even to learn Torah Shlo Shem Shosh, Shlo Lashma is valuable. Shemito Shlo Lashma Balashma. Over time, if you keep at it, albeit Shlo Lashma, over time the Shlo Lashma aspect will grow. So we do value doing things Shlo Lashma. To do things Lashma is ideal, but doing things Shlo Lashma is valuable as well. So what's unique about Kol HaMeilu Matibur? You are made in Hashem Hashem. Does it mean to say they would be ideal to Hashem Hashem? That's always true. Does it mean to say you can only do it Hashem Hashem? Why is this different? So different mefarshim give different approaches. I'll share with you an idea from the Netziv that I've heard Rav Schefter quote a number of times. Netziv says here. Typically, Lishma is ideal, but to learn to do Mitzvah Lishma is still meaningful. Not as optimal, but certainly meaningful. And it suggests that what Gamliel is teaching us is that Tzarchei Tzibur is different. Tzarchei Tzibur is only, for Tzarchei Tzibur, the Lishma aspect is that much more critical. Both because your Kavana defines it, and because of implications. In other words, number one, if you eat in sukkah, you give tzedakah, you daven, you bench, you give someone a smile, you give someone time, those are maase mitzvah. I've done a mitzvah. I've helped someone feel better. I ate in the sukkah, I shook a lulav, I wore tzitzis. So the maase mitzvah is a maase mitzvah. The mitzvah is done. If I did it with proper kavanah, with proper motivation, that certainly enhances the mitzvah, but regardless, whether I did the mitzvah with proper motivation or improper motivation, either way, I did do a mitzvah, and that can't be taken away from me. But Tzarchei Tzibur is not often a well-defined mitzvah, and very often it's my kavana that defines it as a mitzvah. So in this case, the L'shem Shamayim aspect is absolutely critical. If I'm doing it to help, if I'm doing it to further HaKadosh Baruch Hu's goals, so then this is Tzarchei Tzibur. If it seems to suggest that if I'm doing it purely for personal motivations, for ego and for such, so I'm doing an actual Ma'aseh Mitzvah, but I'm driven by ego, I still did a Ma'aseh Mitzvah. But if it's something amorphously defined, then the motivation is very critical. That's number one. And number two is that you're creating something new. Something that it says highlights. To create a new organization, to craft something, the L'shem Shamayim is absolutely critical, even more than the mitzvah lulav already exists. The mitzvah sukkah already exists. I'm going to do lulav. I'm going to perform sukkah. I'll perform yeshiva b'sukkah. So L'shem Shamayim is important, but not critical. But it's absolutely critical. If I'm creating something new, it's absolutely critical that it be created al taras hakodesh, that it be created for its cause, that it be created l'shem shamayim. And that is part of the message of Rabban Gamliel. But the core you sowed, coming back to this, is an intriguing sub-point, the care one needs to take, that the amelus, the matibah should be l'shem shamayim. But again, returning to the overall picture of this opening Mishnah Rabban Gamliel, Perek Beis Mishnah Beis, he's seeking to put the different pieces of one's day together and in a way that reflects what's truly important, whether it was the eye on the prize. And that's what he returns to in Mishnah Dalet. Hu haya omer, Aseh ritzano kirtzonecha, keishatzer ya'aseh ritzonecha kirtzono. I need to align my will with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will. And then in return, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will align his with ours. Most of the first one understand that means it often, it's sort of the core moral struggle of life. is, will I align my will with the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? I have my own desires. I have my own agenda. I have my own interests. I have my own needs. And it's difficult to say, but the halacha demands that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told the halacha means what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's guidelines, how he wants us to lead our lives. And it's one of the central struggles, the central moral struggles of our lives, is to be osir ritzoneinu ki ritzono. Excuse me, to be turn, to realign our will with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will, to take his will and make it ours. I say, Ritzono Kirtzonecha. Take HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will, take Ritzon Hashem, and make that your Ratzon. Redefine our Ritzonos around Ritzon Hashem. To redefine our priorities around Ritzon Hashem. That's, if we do that, so then Kadosh Baruch Hu will grant us bracha. Kadosh Baruch Hu will enable our ratzon, the things that we need, Kadosh Baruch Hu will take care of. But that central notion, I say with so no kir tzonecha, to redefine what our desires are as that which Kadosh Baruch Hu desires. That's the central issue. That's essentially so where are my priorities? And how do I build around those priorities? And then later in this Mishnah goes back to Hillel, who's the great-great-great-great-grandfather of this Rabban Gamliel. And as the Tosfos mentioned several sentences before, we already quoted several statements from Hillel in the first parak, but now we left some. The Masadar of Pirkei Avos left some for now so that we could restart the chain from Hillel again. And here we have Mishnah, the end of Mishnah Dalet is Hillel, Mishnah Hey is Hillel, and Mishnah Vav and Mishnah Zayin, then from Mishnah Chesed. I'm going to go on to Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai and later students of Hillel. So let's take a look at Mishnah Zayin, because Mishnah Zayin continues going back many generations to Hillel, but we see yet another aspect of this question, another aspect, I should say, of this idea. Hu Haya Omer. Hillel used to say, Marba Basar, Marba Rima, Marba Nechastam, Marba Daiga. That line, Marba Nechastam, Marba Daiga. If a person has excess property, the more property, the more daigas. The more property, the more worry. I mean, no, that's true. Right? When you were, before you owned the car, right? before you became a homeowner, the care of the house than someone else's house. The moment you have a friend who lived in apartments in the Heights for a number of years, and then when he bought a house, his one of the Rosh Hashiva or you walked over to him and said, Malzav, you are now your own super. Now all the care of the house is on your head. And we know it to be true. And as we consider Hillel's idea, we see it more and more. The Marba Nechasim Marba Daigam, the more property we own, the more there is to worry about, and the more there is to take care of. It doesn't mean that we should be nechassim free. But it does mean that we need to have a sense of priority. This Mishnah is not about having nechassim versus not having nechassim. As the Rambam reminds us in the third chapter of Hilchos Deos, we proudly reject Christian theology. We do not assume the holiest person is one who is entirely parish from Olam Hazeh. We do not see monkhood as an ideal. Kadosh Baruch Hu expects us to engage Olam Hazeh. Kadosh Baruch Hu expects us to engage Olam Hazeh and to use Olam Hazeh for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's purposes. Like we just saw before, I say Ritzono Kirtzonecha. What our Mishnah is talking about is not having a chasm, but marbe nechasm. And which is why the Mishnah goes on to talk later, but the second half of the Mishnah is the positive aspect. Marbe Torah, marbe Chayim. The question is, where am I putting the dagesh in my life? What am I stressing? What am I stressing? Of course, my life will be a blend of the spiritual and the physical. But is it dagesh on the physical, or is it dagesh on the spiritual? Am I being marbe nechasim? Or am I being marbe Torah and marbe yeshiva and so on and so forth? Marbe tzedakah and marbe shalom. That issue, again, and that's how the Meiri understands that Mishnah. Very beautiful Me'iri. Let me share with you just a couple of lines. His overall take on this Mishnah, in his counting, it's Mishnah Ches. He breaks up Mishnah a little bit differently. Ba'allah ha'ir la'adam. I'm sorry you don't have the text in front of you, so I'll just read a couple of lines. The lines are golden. It's coming to tell us in Ra'ulo Lihos Tachas Kavanoso Ba'olamo Rak Betorah Uvamidos Mitzvos. What Hillel is teaching us in this Mishnah is that we have to understand, have a sense of purpose. There are a lot of things we're busy with. We have to understand that the goal of it all needs to be Torah, Midos, Mitzvos. Shar Yani Ha'olam in Ra'ulo Lihos Tadel Elitziat Sorech Ha'ech Rechi. The physical aspects of my life are necessary, and I'm going to engage them on a per need basis. And he says, if I become over engaged in the physical aspects of my life as an ends in and of themselves, and lose track of their instrumental value in moving forward to Hashem, I end up paying a cost. Marba nechasim, marba daigam. Positively, his Talmud, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, says the next Mishnah. If I lamad the Torah harbe, I've learned Torah, I've lived Torah. Understand, this is your goal. You're accomplishing your goal. And he once again says, it's a question of tachos. There's more to see over the course of this parak, and the time is short. As you, I will highlight two items that you want to just keep your eyes open for. As you continue to learn this parak, one is that as the Mishnahs go on, so are Talmidim of Yochanan Zakkai, Mishnah Ches. It's fascinating that you see this sort of this notion of specialization. Yochanan Zakkai noted that there was five key Talmidim. This one was an incredible Baki. He knew a lot. This one was very analytic. This one had extraordinary midos. This one was a tremendous concern not to do chet, and this one was a chafet. He was going to film shows, and he was driven by Avas Hashem. So like a fascinating, even before we get into the details, just to appreciate a different, we keep all the mitzvahs, but it doesn't mean that everyone keeps the mitzvahs the same way, meaning every Jew needs to keep all the mitzvahs, but different people have different personalities, and different things will resonate with different people more or less. So we can all keep all the mitzvahs, but we can have our own specialization. I'll keep all the mitzvahs, but this mitzvah particularly speaks to me. Sefer Chassidim speaks about that idea. Every Jew having maybe a mesech that he specializes in, and every Jew having a mitzvah that he specializes in. I try to keep all the mitzvahs, but there's one mitzvah I'm particularly dedicated to. The Rama speaks about that as well. The notion of trying to do at least one mitzvah perfectly. To try to be a good Jew overall, but at the same time, core and explore. At the same time, they try to keep all the mitzvahs, there'll be maybe certain things in which I'm particularly invested in. That is a valuable approach to ambition in Avodas Hashem. Thank you so much. Wonderful day, and we shall be in touch.